Let's go fishing. Thanks for tuning in. It's the Let's Go Fishing Show here every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. That's right. The Let's Go Fishing Show, KOMY, 1340 KSCO, 1080. Your host, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell here every week, Thursday, 7:06 to 8 p.m. So if you're getting ready to go fishing this weekend or even tomorrow, cutting out of work or school early, it looks like a great weekend. The weather is going to be pretty nice. There's the continued typical high pressure located off the western Pacific, I should say the eastern Pacific here, while inland there's a thermal low pressure. And yes, that does create that northwest flow that the Pacific Ocean is known for. However, it's not as strong as it is in the springtime and midsummer when the inland heat is really strong and there's, the heat wave is there and the cool offshore temperatures of the ocean are much cooler than that inland air, creating quite a bit of wind or convection. So yes, we are looking at a high pressure centered off the eastern Pacific and a thermal low inland. Northwest winds on the Outer Bay waters offshore 20 to 60 miles, 15 to 25 knots northwest winds. Saturday, it's going to come down a little bit to 10 to 20. And Sunday, I think I've said it every weekend here the last few weeks, but it's going to look like another window of opportunity Sunday for you albacore fishermen. So check the water charts, check Terrafin, and find out what sea surface temperatures are. And always check those buoys offshore. But yes, it looks like Sunday things are going to subside a little bit, 5 to 15 knot winds offshore. No really good water breaks, and it looks like about 90 to 95% of the albacore are definitely from central Oregon up to northern Washington. The numbers still are extremely high, while the commercial fishermen up there flood the markets with the live bait lift pole boats as well as the jig boats. But the good news is, yes, the albacore stocks are healthy. What's tonight's show about? Well, a summary of the MLPA meeting. That was August 15th in Monterey. The smoke is starting to settle. The ashes are starting to settle to the ground, and we're finally kind of wiping the haze off of our eyes and figuring out what really took place at that meeting and what it means to you, whether you fish or whether you just, live in this area, you like the bay. And I'm doing my best, despite being a fisherman for many years, I'm trying to take a journalistic approach to this topic, and I'm willing to hear from anybody, any side, because I will admit that there's parts of these marine life protected areas or the Marine Life Protection Act that I agree with. And, I'm open to discussion, but I think most important is there's some major laws going on, taking place right in our backyard in the Monterey Bay that may or may not pertain to you, that you might not even know what's going on. And you know what? It's not on a ballot. We're trusting our government officials to make these decisions. And a lot of the decisions that took place at this meeting were in total opposition to the three major proposals that were brought on by many groups, sport, commercial fishermen, scientists, Ocean Conservancy, a lot of people with different interests on panels that came to agreement, as well as State Fish and Game and federal agencies. So again, the concerning factor is there's a lot going on out there with closed ocean areas that the average person, even myself as active as I try to be, don't really understand and feel like I don't have a say-so. So if that's a big deal to you, I would think it is, you can give us a call, 479-1080. We are going to talk more about that. We hope to check in with some of the local callers as well. Walter Nash might be giving us a call. He's got the Lingcod tournament. So yes, despite all of the pessimistic reports you might hear, fishing still takes place in the Monterey Bay, a beautiful place to be, and we hope to fill you in on where to go, how to do it on the entire central coast. Is that right, Alan?
That's right, Mike. And in addition, we're going to hear from Steve Carson, who graced us with his presence last weekend in the local Monterey Bay area. And we're going to hear about how some of his tuna expertise may have applied to our area. But really, after our first break here, I'm real interested in speaking with Jim Martin, who's the Northern California Director of the Recreational Fishing Alliance. And he's going to bring us up to speed, hopefully, and help us with a little sense of direction on this MPA issue.
That's a good point, Alan. We're going to talk to somebody that's very informed. Again, Jim Martin, Recreational Fishing Alliance, and he's going to kind of give us a summary of what happened and how it might pertain to us, whether you fish every day, once in a while, or just like listen to the show, you're tuned in to the right show. If you want to go fishing, be entertained, or try to keep you informed on politics in the ocean that may affect us. So don't touch the dial. We're going to be back with just tons of information and a fantastic show. We'll be right back.
After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up to the minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sport to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Limaglass, Penn, from long range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp. Pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you.
You may be spending money on insurance right now. Do you know what your auto liability limits are? Is your home covered for full reconstruction cost? Do you know how affordable a renter's policy or life insurance can be when they are packaged with other farmers' policies? If you haven't talked to your agent lately and you would like a friendly consultation with me, Mike Baxter, call 831-588-9577. Farmers' rates are very competitive. For a quote, call Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577, or contact me through the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show website, www.theletsgofishingradioshow.com. Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577.
You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect the required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecoff, financial consultant, at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecoff. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's Go Fishing. You're tuning into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Welcome aboard your hosts, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell, every Thursday, 7:06, 8 p.m. on KSCO, 1080, KOMY, 1340, and archived at shiptoshoreradio.com. Listen to guys out there fishing in the San Francisco Bay, Half Moon Bay, and Monterey Bay areas right there in the convenience of your home or office. And you can listen to VHF transmissions from fishermen right there at shiptoshoreradio.com. Our show is also archived there. And thanks to the folks at sportfishingreport.com. They also archive the Let's Go Fishing show there, or listen to it live at www.ksco.com. Proud to be here, and glad to have a show. Big thanks to the sponsors and the listeners. You guys make it possible. So Al and I hopefully are just the guys that put the show on for the community to have a voice, especially for the sportsmen out there. Thanks for tuning in. With Bailey Properties, Dave Dawson, a big thanks to him for supporting the show. Knox Roofing, Bayside Marine right down in the harbor for tackle and fishing information. The Santa Cruz Harbor, tons of amenities there. It's a great resource right here in Santa Cruz. Pete Middlecoff with Solomon Smith and Barney, and yours truly, Mike Baxter with Farmers Insurance. So thanks for tuning in. And you know what, Alan, I want to do? I want to talk to our friend and a gentleman that's been contributing to the Let's Go Fishing show here regularly this season. That's Jim Martin from Recreational Fishing Alliance, and find out more about this whole MLPA issue. Jim, how are you tonight?
Pretty good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, it's an honor, and we appreciate it. And to be honest, as much of the pressure for information as we can put on you, the happier we are. As informed as Al and I both are, this has really caught us off guard, and it's hard to really know what took place at that meeting. So anything you can tell us that took place at the Monterey meeting August 15th and why there's an increase in closed zones that none of us anticipated, we're happy to hear.
Yeah, well, first a little background. The Recreational Fishing Alliance and Sport Fishing Association of California and a number of their fishing groups, both sport and commercial, formed a coalition called the California Fisheries Coalition to confront this whole MLPA thing over the last 2 years. And we realized early on that it was bigger than any one group or club could deal with, and so we decided to pool our resources and support the regional stakeholders who were impaneled to make these decisions, we thought. But as it turned out, the Fish and Game Commission, like the Blue Ribbon Task Force before it, decided to make up their own maps at the last minute, and it was very unfortunate. They overruled the department's recommendations in many cases, and it seemed like it was a political campaign stop for the governor, who's concerned that people want to view him as a pro-environment candidate.
Okay, so let me back up just a little bit, because I think what's really important is the amount of time and the amount of groups that worked on this effort that had, what, three proposals together over maybe a multi-year process. How many organizations got together for the three proposals, and how long did that take, and how broad was the coverage as far as people involved, if you could answer that?
Well, I mean, as if you're going to include all the environmental groups and the agencies like National Marine Sanctuaries and Department of Fish and Game, I mean, I don't think there's any group that touches upon the marine issues, whether it's from a saltwater fisherman's perspective or from an environmental perspective. They were all involved.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain, is simply that there was a well-orchestrated organization of different panels, committees, both from the state, the federal government, Fish and Game, representatives from sport, commercial fishermen, as well as the scientific world that do want to create these protected areas, the National Marine Sanctuary. So it was a group, a broad array of representatives that came to a conclusion with three different type of closed areas that were kind of in somewhat of an agreement. And I guess my concern is that much effort from that many different parties involved that did come to mutual terms, if you could say that, and even out of that much effort and time, they went with a totally different decision based on their own information, if they had any information.
Yeah, the alternative that was developed by the fishermen and basically 24 different fishing associations were part of the coalition, and they all agreed to this one proposal, package number one, or the fisherman's alternative, whatever you want to call it. It would have allowed for, you know, plenty of fishing opportunity while meeting the science guidelines that we were given. And so it seemed to us that any additional closures was just punitive in nature rather than trying to help the fisheries. And I think if you looked at the press accounts of what happened. This was all supposed to replenish depleted fisheries, and I don't think that's going to happen, because one of the things is that they decided to close about 43% of the hard bottom in the whole region from Point Conception up to Pigeon Point. And if you close that much hard bottom, you're obviously going to shift all the effort to the remaining open areas, which, you know, judging from what they picked, is less suitable rockfish habitat. And those areas are going to get depleted.
Jim, it's Alan. So in other words, I look at the map. I have the map right in front of me. And it shows little squares here and there that are colored either red or blue. Red means no take at all. Blue means some sort of limited take. And it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of spots that are really blocked off here. But I believe that only 20% approximately of our coastline is the type of habitat that supports rockfish. And the 8% that they closed off from us all comes out of that 20%. Therefore, they're closing down about half of the rockfish habitat that we have here on the Central Coast. Is that my...
That's correct. It's close to half of the rockfish habitat.
Right. And then the other half, which isn't really as good of rockfish habitat, in other words, the area in front of Waddell Creek or Scott's Creek is not as good as the area in front of Aña Nuevo. Aña's
right.
Closed, and now below Scott's Creek is going to get hammered.
Yeah, I think most of your listeners know that the ocean is not, you know, evenly distributed with fish. There's certain locations that are good, and about maybe 10% of the ocean holds 90% of the fish. So, you know, when you make these kinds of decisions, sighting is everything. You can't look at the percentages or the size of the maps. It's really what they picked, and I don't think that the commission did that in good faith, looking at what the fishermen need and what the scientists want, you know, for study and so forth. There was not a good balance between competing interests.
Okay, yeah. So after all of the efforts with the stakeholders group and whatnot, a plan was basically recommended by Fish and Game, the Department of Fish and Game, and forwarded to the Fish and Game Commission, which is a separate entity. The Fish and Game Commissioners basically took that plan that was recommended that people had spent literally years working on and compromising and whatever, and essentially made up their own map. Just kind of...
Yeah, they picked almost as if they were picking the least favorable options from all the different packages.
Got it.
To fishing.
Got it. And hence our outrage.
Yeah, it's outrageous, and I think it's more the lack of respect that our volunteers got. The people that represented fishing did not get paid, while, you know, even the meeting in Sacramento of the Fish and Game Commission, probably half the room was filled with paid environmental staff.
Right.
And there's, you know, nothing wrong with that, but we just don't have that kind of firepower. And the people that showed up did so at a cost to their personal lives and their families and their jobs, and they had to take time off from work, and that's money that they're not going to make.
Yeah, the thing that concerned me, if I could say, Jim, was that just that the proposal process was so in-depth. I mean, I was involved with MAPS. I have, you know, a decent amount of experience in this area, and first and foremost, I think what people need to understand is fishermen do care about fish. In fact, we care about fish probably more than any other group out there. So as we work with these recommendations and set up a certain area or a partial area of New Year's Island, I could actually say I was willing to give an area of that for reproduction or fish spawning, or just to leave a closed area similar to like there has been at Point Reyes or Point Lobos. I'm not 100% opposed to that concept, but what I'm opposed to is bad science when I hear statements or quotes after the fact when the pencils come out in the fourth quarter of a meeting like this, and there's zones that are just chosen out of nowhere, and then quotes come out that say we wanted to set a precedent. Because for me, in the scientific world, and when you look at numbers and habitat and trying to manage a resource, there's no word like precedent in there when you look at proper management.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of emotionalism that came into play, and I think that, you know, I noticed some frustration on the part of the department staff who will ultimately have to manage and enforce these decisions, and the the proposal that they put forth, whether you liked it or not, had a certain integrity and rationale that was scientifically based, and that took into account the needs of fishermen as well. So when the commission stepped in and willy-nilly overrode some of those recommendations just to make the reserve system bigger for political purposes, that frosts everybody.
At least that's how it sounded. A quick review is it looks like there's quite a bit of new areas here. In the greater Monterey Bay area, the Soquel Canyon area is going to be what they're calling the State Marine Recreational Management Area, which is closed to all fishing except possibly salmon and albacore will be open. An area just south of Onenuevo is the same type of management, State Marine Recreational Management Area. And the greater Onenuevo area is basically closed. There might be a small section that will be legally fishable for bottom fishing or rock fishing for sport fishermen. And our concern there is like we mentioned earlier, the impact that was, like you mentioned, about 40%, if not more, of the fishing habitat that the recreational fishermen can spread out and utilize that area. Now they'll all impact smaller reefs closer to home. So it might create kind of an adverse effect. The other thing is the fish at Onenuevo don't migrate much. It's an isolated reef. There's not a lot of reef connecting that area to the lower stretches closer to Santa Cruz, so it becomes more of an isolated area, and it'll just reach a maximum potential of adult fish, and they may not migrate much other than the blue rockfish, whereas most of the resident bottom fish won't disperse to the other areas because they're surrounded by sand. That was a kind of a concern of mine. I think if I could say it real quick, the first and foremost issue is all these fish are supposed to be protected by state fish and game first and federal agencies. So it just seems like a redundant or repetitive management technique that it's funny because rockfish seasons are opening up more and more. Next year it opens to more area and a greater length of time. Salmon, 90% of the salmon we catch here are Sacramento River fish, which are at as high or higher numbers than they've been in 20 years. The albacore counts, these are highly migratory fish, so where they end up on the West Coast, it's hard to tell. But right now, the counts up in Washington and Oregon are higher than ever. So albacore are coming back. So we look at the three major species they're managing here. Actually, the numbers are coming back, and the state regulations can show that. So it kind of seems like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I think it's the case of this law was passed in 1999 before a lot of these concerns had been addressed. And here we are in 2006, and Lincott has been completely rebuilt, showing that federal management does work.
Right.
And you know, this is closures on top of closures. That's kind of a topic of an article I wrote on our website, www.fishpolitics.com.
Great website.
It has a lot of background information and, you know, alerts. And we were all pretty frustrated. In fact, I had to wait a day or two before I even wrote it up because I might have said, I almost came unglued at the meeting, and that wouldn't be good if I want to go back there again. But
what is a word of warning or for someone like, say, your neighbor lives near you, they don't fish, they don't stay up on this, how do you think they would feel about some of the process?
Well, I think that reading the paper, they'd be real happy, but when they find out that their kids can no longer visit some of these intertidal reserves to protect sea anemone and things like that, it's not going to just affect fishing. And in fact, that's one of the things we tried to bring into the process if we're trying to talk about marine life protection. Water quality issues are a big concern for fishermen, and it's something that normally unites fishermen and environmentalists. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that wasn't something they wanted to talk about. They just wanted to talk about no fishing zone.
Right.
And forget about all the habitat issues that impact all marine life, not just the fish species.
Yeah, it makes you kind of suspect that there may be an agenda. Jim, we really, really appreciate you giving us this call and giving us of your time this evening. We have about a minute left here for this segment, and I think that it's important that we don't finish this conversation without adding from you, you know, our resident expert, what do we do next? You know, what can we as fishermen and as concerned citizens do to make our voices heard and, hopefully fight the process as it's come out now?
Well, it has not gone to regulations yet, and the RFA and other organizations, especially the California Fisheries Coalition, will be pursuing the CEQA process, California Environmental Quality Act. It's a regulatory hoop that they have to jump through and show that it's not a negative impact, and I think that what the commission did was ultimately a negative environmental impact, not a positive one. So that's one thing you can do. Of course, you can join the RFA. You know, tens of thousands of anglers, you know, all over the nation worried about these issues are got to be more powerful than us just carping and moaning. And then stay informed. This is going to go up and down the coast. In the Central California area, you have concerns about the Monterey Bay Sanctuary wanting to extend these things into federal waters. They're ready to go.
Yeah, right.
So this is an ongoing battle. This is not, you know, this is, it's all about public access to a public resource, and that's what we're all about, is preserving your access to a public trust resource.
And give us the website again, if you would, Jim.
It's at www.fishpolitics.com.
All right, www.fishpolitics.com. We'll set up a link on the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show site, too. Jim, thanks for your time, and even more important, all of your efforts.
Oh, thank you, guys, and thanks for getting the word out.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
And if you can, get out there and go fishing. You can still do it and have a good time.
That's true.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
All right,
bye-bye,
Jim.
And if I can, Alan, will you let me? I got to check in with Walter Nash real quick before the break and find out about his up-and-coming tournament. Walter, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Mike?
Well, good. We're trying to stay active and positive. You know, it's a juggling act. You got to be involved and care about that resource around us. And it doesn't mean we want to go catch everything. We want to try to participate and make sure there are fish left for the next generations behind us. But on a fun note, I know you've got an up-and-coming tournament. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, we're having our fourth annual Big Lingcod Tournament and Battle of the Bay. We're going to put Team Stagnero, who won it last year, up against the Sarandi from Monterey and the Kahuna from Moss Landing.
Okay.
And we have about 100 anglers in it this year and a bunch of raffle prizes, big barbecue afterwards at the dockside there. And we're doing a fundraiser for the United Anglers of California to help fight for our fishing rights.
All right. Sounds like the Clash of the Titans. How about food? Is there going to be a nice barbecue after?
Oh, big tri-tip and chicken barbecue afterwards, and nice raffle, and be a fun day.
All right. And is there any spaces available, or are you full?
Right now, we're full. I got a couple people on standby. You know, you never know, last minute, you might get somebody backing out.
Okay.
But, we're all full at this point.
All right. Well, if somebody's interested in either helping, sponsoring, or being put on a wait list, what's the contact information?
They can call Who's Your Daddy Sport Fishing at area code 831-239-6417.
All right. And since you're always so helpful with our perch tournament during the wintertime, yours truly is willing to put on an apron and serve chili, flip burgers, or whatever it is you want me to do. So I will be there in the afternoon to help out. That's, again, September 17th on Sunday.
Well, we appreciate all the help. That'll be a fun tournament this
year. All right. We'll see if we can drag Alan Bushnell down there, too.
That'd be great. Look forward to Alan this year.
Okay. And give us a follow-up call with who wins. I really want it. There's a lot riding on this, and definitely let us know who won some prizes.
Yeah, we have the cash prizes also for first, second, and third. I forgot that, but it ought to be a real fun event this year.
Depending
on the closures next year, maybe we'll have a golf tournament instead.
Yeah, we'll have to change it from Who's Your Daddy to Catch 'Em While You Can. Walter, you take care. Any last tidbits before we go into the break?
Nope. Just enjoy the show and hope this closure thing, we're real upset about it. But
okay.
We'll fight for what we can.
All right, Walter Nash with Who's Your Daddy Fishing Tournament Sunday, September 17th. We'll find out who catches the big lingcod after the tournament. Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend. Don't touch the dial right after the break. We're going to check in with Steve Carson. That's right. The Penn Fishing University trips for Albacore are back out of Santa Cruz. Find out more about those. They're coming up, so don't touch the dial.
put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including six campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the lake view lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy. An outdoor world has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing with Captain Jimmy Charter. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHS, and single sideband. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine. 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned in to the Let's Go Fishing Show every Thursday, 7.06 to 8 p.m., keeping you informed and up-to-date about fishing in your greater area. Great show tonight. We're talking about Marine Life Protected Act and what it means to you, whether you fish or not. Big deals going out on out in the ocean. I'm not totally opposed to closures or limited closures, and I'm actually 100% for proper management of those resources. It's important to us that there's fish for the future generations. Fishermen do care about this, and we're actually very involved, and probably one group that cares about fish more than any other. So you're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340. On a fun note, our good friend, longtime caller, Steve Carson, has given us a call, otherwise known as Senior Tuna, and he's got great news, which is the continuing of the legacy as anglers search for albacore tuna out of Santa Cruz. Senior Tuna, tell us all about it.
I'm really excited, Mike. Yeah, tomorrow night, Friday night, we're going out on a Princess from Stag Narrows. Actually, we're leaving from J-Dock, from the winter departure zone, because we're doing a full San Diego schedule. We're leaving at 11 at night, tomorrow night, to fish on Saturday till 9 p.m. And you know, you work down there for enough years, Mike. That is a tough schedule on the crew. That is the classic way that you catch albacore.
That's the real deal. That's a one-day trip for albacore. And if those fish are 70 miles out, so be it, because you've got plenty of time to get out there. There's tons of live bait. And, you know, the weather doesn't look that bad. There's a little northwest flow, but you know what? If you want to catch those speedy, white-meated albacore, you got to pay the price, and now's the time. So tell us a little more about the trip. You're going to be showing up, lots of prizes.
I'm going to have lots of prizes. You know, we're going to have a pan rod and reel for the jackpot winner. And you know what? I mean, I hate to say this, but even if you get skunked, hopefully no one will, but if you're maybe that one unlucky person who doesn't, I'm probably going to have a prize as to where almost everybody's going to win something. I mean, I'm loading up because, as you know, we're trying to revive a grand old tradition. I want to make sure that the new people that haven't seen it kind of get a real taste of what it's like. Plus, I will have the only pan torque reel in the state of California. I hope we need our 40-pound line because that's what's on it. But even if you just want to look at it and think about whether you want to buy it for the future, you'll at least be able to get your very first idea of what they're like.
Yeah, so again, what is it, a 22-hour trip going out of Stagnero Sport Fishing. Give them a call.
There's still a couple spots left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got our minimum, which is 15, to run, so we know we're going to run. But he can handle up to 24, and of course, the Princess is a nice big boat, 65 feet.
Yeah, bait tank on board, galley bunks. It's the real deal. And again, it's Steve Carson with the Penn Fishing University. We ran many trips together on the Wild Wave with a lot of success. So if you're new to albacore fishing, you want to win prizes, but even more important, learn how to do it. It's kind of that saying, we could help you catch a fish today, or we could teach you how to catch them the rest of your life, kind of a thing. And that's really what takes place. So
I love having first-time albacore fishermen out there. Not all operations welcome them. I do.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
If they take part in a team concept, everybody's equal.
Yeah.
It works well, as you know.
Stagnero Sport Fishing, right there on the wharf. Their number is 831-427-2334. Senior Tuna, tell us what else is hot. We got a limited amount of time, so take it from the top.
Well, it's wide open on both the yellowfin tuna and the great white sharks at Guadalupe Island for the multi-day boats out of San Diego. If you're using only 40-pound line, you're probably going to get your tuna eaten by a shark. If you use 50, you can probably get them in fast enough to avoid the sharks. But I guess there's been some real National Geographic moments the last week or so, and some really nice yellowfin, you know, 50 to about 120-pound fish, and they're biting pretty well. So that's really, really good. And just to follow up on the call just before me, again, a lot of people are busy. They got families. They got jobs. They don't know what to do to get involved in the process and fight the closures. But all fishermen should be just like hunters joining Ducks Unlimited. Even if you have no time to do anything, vote with your checkbook, join RFA, join United Anglers, join Coastside, join them all. I did. And that way, even if you don't have any actual time of your own, you can make sure that those people that know what they're doing and, you know, really understand the process can be fighting for your rights. And I just want to go out with one quick thing. I've heard quite a few people mentioned that they want to create what are like underwater Yellowstones off the coast of California. Well, I want to remind everybody that you're allowed to fish in Yellowstone.
Senior Tuna for president. All right, Steve, any last bits there? How about take us inland real fast, Feather River, Butte Creek, anywhere. What are the salmon
doing? First of all, I'm overlooking about 80 feet on a bluff overlooking Butte Creek, and the wonderful spring run salmon are just getting ready to spawn. And I might add that the residents of the canyon, although the creek was completely closed for many years, they worked the system, they went to the meetings, and they're now allowed to fish for the 3 months of the year where there are no salmon in the creek. They can fish for the trout and the smallmouth bass. And if the fish keep coming back like they have been, I think you're going to see a very limited fishery for the spring run salmon. And again, I think that really speaks well for people that get involved and you know, make the system work for them. You have to get involved.
Okay, so we'll see you. You'll be down in Santa Cruz getting ready to go albacore fishing on the Princess Saturday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Friday night to fish Saturday, and there are a couple of spots left. So if somebody's interested, give Stagnero's a call.
Okay, Friday night, I'm making a note. I'll reannounce that. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend. Good luck fishing out there.
Thank you, Mike.
And before we go into the break, we got a couple calls. Frank Menacho from Santa Cruz, longtime friend and sportsman. even a gentleman, I'd call him. But right before we check in with him, Ken Stagnaro himself, he's got the Princess running out of Stagnaro's as well as the Velocity. You know, Alan, it's just been tough to get reports. I think fuel prices, I have to say the hot pick along the entire coast really is Rockfish.
That's it. And that's the entire coast of California, mm-hmm. all the way up to Fort Bragg right now, Mike.
So maybe we'll extract some rock fishing tips from Ken Stagnaro aboard the Velocity. Ken, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going, Mike? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Good, good. We're always honored to have you as a guest, even though you've got such a good radio voice. But if you could, just fill us in. If you want to hop on the charter boat, how's rock cod fishing been?
Rock cod fishing's been great this year. Yeah, it started off kind of weak on the lingcod this year. I think a lot of warm water in town this year. It's starting to cool off, though. Recently, we've been getting some more lingcod. But overall, the rock fishing's been really fantastic. It's really been a great year on, I want to say, whopper with a capital W, bluefish and black
yeah,
rockfish.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing with the school fish this year.
They're really big and hungry. I've noticed on the meter, when you go over a school of them, they swim right up to the boat like it's the lunch wagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now it's a pretty rare event if you have to go to the bottom. And it's amazing when you stop the boat. When I watch the fish on the meter, it's a situation where now I can't even get the boat stopped, and they're coming up under the boat like tuna. You know, it's like the lines aren't even in the water yet, and just the sound of the boat, you can see them rushing up to the surface.
That is so fun. I've taken the kids out this season a couple times, and boy, that is so fun. But like you said, the blue rockfish, I think we should use Morro Bay's term and just call them blue bass, because these are big blue rockfish.
Yeah, if you painted them like a bass in a lake, you know, they'd look similar in size and shape, you know, I mean, but they are a blue rockfish, but blue bass is very appropriate for these things.
Tell us, I got excited, I was thinking about the lingcod. Now, Alan mentioned, hey, Mike, remember, it's been tough for lingcod, but it's getting to be fall. Those big fish are going to start migrating in from the deep reefs. Tell us what you're seeing on the lingcod scene.
Well, like I said, it started off a real tough year. Traditionally, we will get a good run of lingcod even in the summer with some of the smaller males and you know, resident fish, and it just didn't really happen this year. The beginning opening weekend of rockcod was good for lingcod, but then it just kind of slowly tapered off that, and it seemed to coincide with the water just getting warmer and warmer. We were fishing, you know, 60, 62 degree water for rockfish, and I don't think the lingcod liked that. I don't know if I'm onto something or not, but I'll tell you what, as soon as the water cooled down the last week or so, we started to see the lingcod numbers come up. And just locally, I mean, I didn't even go to New Year's Island the other day. We had a trip with sportfishingreport.com on Wednesday, I think it was, and we just fished locally because the weather was not great up above. It was windy, and we got a little bit of live bait that day for the guys, and we just fished, you know, 5-6 miles up the coast, and everybody that was trying for a lingcod pretty much had one. We had several fish that were 15, 17 pounds and big reds. It was just a great day all around, but I noticed the water was, instead of 61, it was 56, and it just happened like within 2 or 3 days. So
there was a big change in water temperature and conditions. Because what we want to do is lay down some science, because probably next week we'll check in with Chad Woods from sportfishingreport.com, and he might say something like, due to his skilled anglers.
Well, that's well, I mean, I got to say he helped the cause a little bit. He actually caught one. He caught a nice lingcod. He actually had about half of the boat were his guys or our customers or both. And then we did have a half of the boat of just travelers, tourists wanting to get on the boat, wanting to get on the trip, and that was what we had going.
Mm-hmm.
And so really the amount of lingcod, I think we had 12 or something, and half of the guys on the boat were actually targeting lingcod, and they were those Sport Fishing Report guys, and the other half really were just there to have a good day on the water. They didn't really catch very many lingcod. They caught a couple, but his guys, they held their own, and it was a great day. It was really, we stayed out of the weather, and everybody caught a lot. We had some really good, I just happened to be going out, and the bait boat was getting, laying a set for some bait, and we just were going by, and they waved us over, and we said, sure, we'll take some. And they just filled up a bucket for us, and we put them in the tank, and they were great. They stayed alive all day long. And So it was Rockhut's been a great year. Like I said, the Lincon's just perking up. But even without that, it's been a really phenomenal year for rockfish.
I know you've been running a lot. I mean, in an industry with closures and close zones, I think it's important to say two things. One, we need to be active and we need to show concern and participate. And at the other time, we need to keep going fishing and have fun.
Without
the fishermen on the water, really, we're the watchdogs of the industry. But more important, in an industry that most people consider dying, I see you building a beautiful new boat and running a lot, and I think it's important for people to know they can go on bay cruises right off the wharf. You can go on a bay cruise, go to Gilda's restaurant for a dinner. It's just good fun.
Right.
Or you could go out whale watching, fishing. Tell us more about Stag Narrows and give us some comments.
Well, I would just say, in short, if you're going to be in business, in any business, if you're going to stay in that business, you need to act as if everything is going fine and assume everything is going to be fine. I mean, you always have to work to protect your rights and stuff, but I mean, you always got to keep moving forward. You can't just lay over. And that's what we're trying to do at Stag Narrows. We're just trying to keep going. I mean, yeah, we've lost some more fishing ground, but hey, we can still go fishing. And in fact, next year we're getting more months. The federal decision that we can get, I think it's 8 months next year or something like that. Rockhut fishing starts in May next year, May 1st. So
the numbers look better.
Yeah.
The areas are opening more, and the amount of days we can fish for them is more. That's why it just seems a little bit contradictory.
It's very contradictory. This whole thing with these state MPAs, I really feel it's very political motivated. I also feel like if it wasn't election year, this would have never got ramrodded through. And unfortunately, that's just the name of the game. There's way more politics involved than there is actually the number of fish that are out there. The health of this fish, in my opinion, is as good as it's been in years. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be a motivating factor in this whole process, unfortunately. But, it's green motivated, I would say. You know, the green has a lot of power right now, and there's private money that was, what I understand, private money was put into the process, and I don't think that's right either.
Special interests, voting groups, election year, and bad science.
Right, very bad science, or very little science. I mean, at least when the federal people close down the federal waters, I mean, at least they could point to a rockfish and had some science to back it up, whether it was right or wrong. At least they pointed at a specific couple species of fish and said, well, you need to back off on this. But this is not even, doesn't even have to do with any numbers of fish.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even, okay, if we're going to close down state waters, show us what rockfishes are in danger. Show us the numbers, you know. But I never see any of that stuff.
There was no science used in this decision. Real quick, though, if you want to go albacore fishing, sorry to cut you off, Ken, but albacore trip leaves Friday night, fishing Saturday with the Princess out of Stag Narrow Fishing Trips and Steve Carson, Penn Fishing University. Give us the phone number, or if you want to go rockcod fishing, whale watching, or on a scenic bay cruise.
Yeah, give us a call at 831-427-2334. We have an albacore trip leaving 11 p.m. tomorrow. I think there's 18 or 19 people booked. We've got room for three or four more. It's the weather, we hit the bullseye. So far, it looks like we hit the bullseye on the nose again for the weather. So we got lucky. This is our second trip, and so it looks like good weather, and hopefully the fish will be hungry out there.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Ken. Have a great weekend. Keep catching them big fish.
Thanks, guys.
And if we can, let's check in with Frank M. from Santa Cruz. Frank, make it quick, but we definitely wanted to say hi to you.
Hi. I just want to tell you this. They keep saying, take a kid fishing. Pretty soon, where are you going to take them? Let's keep the waters open for the kids.
All right.
Okay.
Notch one up
Mike,
for Frank.
God bless you.
Hey, thank you very much. You're
All right.
Gentleman and a sportsman, and we appreciate your call.
Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
And that's Frank. He's my man. Boy, I don't know how many years I've known him, but a real gentleman. We're going to check in with a break real fast when we get back. A quick summary and where to go, how to do it, and what to expect. Don't touch the dial.
Serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no-compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com. or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada cacio. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders, or take out or 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone. Fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaros at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, sturdy ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart, serving boaters since 1955. For over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats. Hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards, quiet, smooth, fuel efficient, and powerful, that's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line, that's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Let's Go Fishing. Hope you have a great week. And again, the weather's going to be a little coastal breeze out of the northwest, so keep an eye on that. Rockfish remains the hot pick. A few salmon showing up off Fort Bragg and Duxbury Reef, but I would stick to rockfish or the offshore waters for albacore. Check before you go. Have a great time. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks to the sponsors.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
The man who claims he was with JonBenet Ramsey when she died keeps getting stranger.
More disturbing information emerging. Alabama authorities confirm John Carr ran a daycare center out of his house in Hamilton, Alabama. The facility opening in June of 1997. So if it's true Carr killed JonBenet, kids were in his care just 6 months months after the murder. Carr claims he was with her when she died. Still, no hard evidence proving he was ever here in the state of Colorado.
That's Fox News Radio's Robin Wallace.